This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843. Big O, what are your thoughts on Nick Saban's comments about the Dolphins? All right, so look, man. It's like clubbing seals at this point. Remember how I tell some of you Dolph fans, let go of the past, right? We've done this a couple times where I've told you, let go of the past. Stop worrying about what used to happen. That's not this team anymore. You know what? Let it go already, dude. Nick Saban's not here. He left us. He made the mistake of Breeze, or the doctors did, or whatever it was, dude. I mean, there's always some new story that comes out of all of this. Look, in the end, you only tried it for 2 years and you punked out, bro. You weren't built for the pros. You can't handle men. You want to have total control. So to me, it doesn't matter. Nick Saban would have to even prove to me that he can be a professional coach. I know he has the smarts to be a professional coach, but I don't know if he can handle the personalities. Or does he? Now, he has, it seems like he's a little bit different than he was when he was here. He's not such the arrogant asshole that he used to be. I'm sure he's still an arrogant asshole behind the scenes. But publicly, it seems like he's trying a little bit more to be more cordial with people and the media and those kind of things. So maybe he can handle a little bit more with players. I don't know. But he would have to prove it to me. So in the end, whether you had Breeze or not, I don't give a crap, dude. I don't give a crap. You quit after 2 years. Put it this way, Devin. Do I quit this? And I've had my hell, my share of it, right? Got fired from 560, right? I go to 1210. It's an absolute disaster, right? Then I do this. And then I do my podcast, which actually went really, really well. And so then I tried the craziness of trying to put a station together. And again, I working with stuff that really wasn't going to work, unfortunately. So that didn't work. So you know what's really easy for me to do? Go get a regular job. Go get a normal job and not do this ever again. But I'm not quitting, bro. That's not who I am. That's not who I've ever been. This guy knows because now he's been around me for a couple of these things. So he knows. He's been around it all because he knows I'm not the damn problem. If I was the problem, there's no way he'd be here doing this. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, life sometimes screws you over. And what are you going to do? You're going to quit? Did Giannis quit? You know, oh, you'll never make it. You fell short. You can't shoot. Now I'm going to re-sign. I'm going to sign an extension, and I'm going to win a title here. And he did it. It's about not quitting. And Nick Saban quit here on the Dolphins. That's the bottom. That's what stands out to me. The rest of the periphery, what quarterback, this quarterback, none of that means anything to me. Nick Saban quit. He did it for only 2 years, and he quit. Just like Jimmy Johnson stuck his tail between his ass and walked right out the door after getting his ass handed to him 62-7. Right? Because after all the bravado and we're going to make it special and all of that, you know what happened to Jimmy? He had a cap. He didn't have a cap in Dallas. So he was able to keep everybody because he had an owner that would pay and a league that had no limits. Now the league had limits. Now there were different rules in place. And you couldn't overcome it. And Nick Saban and Jimmy Johnson, for me, quit on the Miami Dolphins. That's the way I look at it. It got tough, and they folded. That's it. I don't see that from Flo. I don't see a guy that gives up. Hey, I'll give Dave Wannstedt a ton of credit on that, at least. We criticized him. He came up short. That some bitch never quit. He always had a positive attitude. He always tried to work through it. Philosophically, I may have disagreed with him on the way he handled things and the way he ran his team. That's fine. That's But I can't. I can never judge Dave Wannstedt's character. I will judge Nick Saban and I will judge Jimmy Johnson as freaking quitters of the Miami Dolphins. Okay? That's what they are. So in the end, I don't care about the stories. I just care that you didn't have the balls and the character to fight through the adversity. And that's what comes in life, adversity. Fight through it. You can't fight through it, then you fold like a cheap chair. And that's exactly what Nick Saban and Jimmy Johnson did. When Jimmy Johnson walked out of that press conference in Jacksonville, and I was there, and he just made a quick statement and walked out and took no questions, that guy lost everything with me. Every single thing. He destroyed the offense around Marino. He never was able to fix the offense. And then after an embarrassing loss, and he creates an environment that our quarterback for 17 years has to walk out as that is as his last game. It's disgusting in my eyes. So Nick Saban and Jimmy Johnson are nothing but quitters when it comes to the aqua and orange. So I don't care about the rest, Devin. I don't care about those stories anymore. Don't want to talk about the quitters, because that's what those dudes are. They re-signed Isaiah Ford, and they also signed offensive tackle Timon Paris. I think they're mostly training camp fodder, but I wanted to give you a little nugget on Isaiah Ford just for the hell of it, okay? Just for the hell of it. They're loaded at wide receiver. They're going to cut guys that are going to make other rosters. I guarantee you that. But, remember last year you had the COVID and you had injuries and it depleted the hell out of that receiving core. That's the good thing about signing Isaiah Ford. He knows your system. Although, no, you change the system now, but he knows the team at least right now at the moment. So he's got to kind of relearn the system because it's been changed, obviously. But his familiarity at least with the team helps. And God forbid you go on a rash of injuries or you make a couple of trades late in the preseason because you think you're fine and then you lose another guy or two after those trades. Having a guy like that around, again, not to be your number one, number two, number three, but to be your four or five guy or six, it's not a bad thing. Isaiah does a good job overall. He can be a possession receiver. They've gotten production out of him here. I know they didn't in New England, but who cares? That's their fault, not Miami's. So that's the only, you know, the Timmons Paris kid, he's another body in camp. You get down to him, it's not like it's, like somebody asked me the other day, what do you think about Jacoby Brissett? Yeah, I like the kid. But if Tua gets injured, it's over, bro. I'm not counting on Brissett to bail anything out. Brissett is there to keep the ship afloat for half a game, for a week or two. That's it. You start having him in there for 3, 4, 5 weeks, your season's over, bro. So I'm not worried about that. So I'm not telling you that, oh, my God, we need Isaiah Ford or anything like that. I'm just saying it's an insurance policy on top of three other insurance policies that are already in place. And what I'm talking about is foresight. And this team, I talked about this the other day. Foresight, bro. We didn't anticipate these X issues, but something must have been brewing behind the scenes after they signed Byron Jones because they went and drafted Igbinogabe. Right? So, we better protect her. So they're ready. They go and draft a tight end this year. So you got to pay Gesicki. But if the negotiations go awry and Gesicki wants too much and it's out of control, you let him go and you got your guy now again. Or you can pay Gesicki and you can keep him around only for 3 more years if you want and cut him after. And the fourth year, he doesn't have to be here for the contract, or fifth. And you can then pay Hunter Long, right? Is the kid's name, right? Is it Hunter Long? You can pay the Boston College kid. And then you can let go of Gesicki. It's all foresight, dude. I told you that Tua is an anticipatory thrower. Well, Chris Greer is an anticipatory GM. He looks at every situation and then sees what problems do I have coming up. Or what possible problems do I have coming up? Or what changes would I like to make coming up? Or what contracts are coming up? Okay, let me plan and try to have something else in place just in case this happens. Even Jacoby Brissett, who I tell you is not a savior, which of course 99% of backups in the history of the NFL aren't saviors. Once in a blue moon, you get a guy. But more often than not, they're just there to keep the ship afloat. But you need one, right? You lost Fitz. You went and got yourself a respectable one just in case. So you can at least stay competitive at times. So, yeah, you like Gaskins, but you still draft a kid from Cincinnati. You still sign Malcolm Brown. Okay? So while you have Gaskins and Salvon Ahmed, you still make other moves. And so the Isaiah Ford move, again, I just found it to be interesting because it's an insurance policy on top of an insurance policy on top of another insurance policy that are already in place. And I really like the way Greer does his work overall. And we're only in year three, man. We're only in year three of all of this. But those two moves, while they mean nothing that much on the greater scale, if you look a little deeper, there's a little bit more meaning to it, actually.